Hi everyone, welcome to the latest midweek podcast. We're in Psalm 91 today. Psalm 91. And I'll give you a moment to find it, to turn it up. And then I'm going to read the whole of it. Psalm 91. Let me read. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his wings, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will protect it, deliver him. Sorry, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honour him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. It is a stunning psalm, just a beautiful expression of confidence in the Lord, Psalm 91, of confidence in God's protection and rescue, of vindication, being safe in him, of his presence with us, of long-lasting life with him. And it's a psalm that's been on my mind particularly today, because I was helping to deliver safeguarding training for the diocese again today, leadership training, and a part two of the leadership training, which is what we were doing today, includes an exercise where those on the course are asked to read Psalm 91 and just to offer some reflections on Psalm 91 and how it may or may not be relevant when we come to think about safeguarding issues in particular. And we get to this point in the course and it always divides the room, or divides the screen at the moment. We're delivering the course entirely online. There are some who think it's just brilliant in a safeguarding context, this lovely expression of the great comfort that we can have in knowing God's care for us, seeing his care for those who are in trouble. It gives us a model, doesn't it, for what we're meant to be like as his people, as we seek to care for others too. But there are always others who say they just simply cannot believe that this psalm has been chosen as part of the course. It seems so insensitive to them. What victim of abuse, what on earth is a victim of abuse meant to make of this, they say, as they think about their experience, and so much of the psalm just doesn't seem to be true. Can you imagine what it's like for them? Hearing verse 10, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent, given what they've been through. It's a horrible thing, people on the course sometimes say, to give this wonderful picture of God's care to somebody who hasn't, feels like they haven't remotely experienced that at all. And of course, being a Church of England safeguarding course, there are often quite a few who are prepared to actually write the psalm off as if, you know, there's something wrong with it. It's not telling the truth. And I always find it deeply frustrating when people are doing that. As someone sort of co-leading the course, we're not really meant to comment. We're just meant to sit and listen to what people say and reflect off the back of it. But I do find myself cheering inwardly when somebody expresses a different, more positive view. And yet those objections to Psalm 91 on the safeguarding course, they do raise good questions, don't they? In fact, they bring a really good question into a sharper focus. What about all the times when, let's be honest, the lives of God's people don't feel like what we see described in this psalm? Been faithful to him, perhaps, life has not felt safe. Okay, many of us may not have been victims of dreadful abuse, although I suspect in a church of our size there will be some who are far more familiar with that kind of thing than perhaps the rest of us know. But we all have moments, don't we, when we, let's be honest, don't feel protected. We long for a rescue from a situation and it doesn't seem to come. We're desperate to be vindicated. And it's just not happening. We don't feel remotely safe. God feels miles away, maybe never seem further away. Our existence we would describe as being more like a living death than a rich life. And I'm pretty sure there'll be some in the church family feeling like that at the moment. In some cases, perhaps it will be COVID and the implications of COVID that are causing us to feel like that. The loneliness still as we remain pretty locked down. Health concerns, perhaps about sort of other health issues, non-COVID related, that we'd love to get checked out or treated. That's not possible. Massive concern about jobs, all the sorts of things that might make us think this psalm feels a very distant thing indeed. Can people like us in times like that read Psalm 91 and mean it? And then there we were today, listening to people reflecting on the course. And one of the ladies on the course spoke up. I've no idea where she was from, but as she spoke, I don't think I cheered inwardly. I think I audibly cheered because I was just so thrilled by what she said. I can see the challenges of this psalm, she said, for someone who has experienced dreadful evil in this life. But as I read this psalm, she said, and as we draw close to Holy Week, at the time when we particularly remember the last week of Jesus' life before he died, I can't help thinking of Jesus, she said, saying and believing these things completely as he headed towards the cross, closer and closer towards the worst trouble any human being has ever known. Such utter evil turned on him. The full judgment that the sins of everyone who will trust him deserves. There's Jesus knowingly heading towards that, and yet able to say and believe Psalm 91, even just those opening words. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. It's just incredibly moving, isn't it? To think of Jesus so confident in that, even as he headed towards what he knew he would face at the cross. So confident in his Father's protection, rescue, vindication, in his safety, and the long life that he would enjoy in his Father's presence to come. And here's the thing, as we just draw this reflection to a close now. If it was true of the Lord Jesus, if he knew that these words were true of him, as he was headed towards that, then of course this can be true of us, can't it? We can know these words are true of us as we trust the Lord Jesus, whatever we might find ourselves in the midst of today. The Father kept his word to the Lord Jesus, and we know he did, so gloriously proved it in keeping him faithful through the cross and then vindicating him in his resurrection and raising him to life forever at his right hand. Well, we can know that he will keep his word to us too, whatever we're facing today or in the days to come. We can say with the Lord Jesus, in fact, I'd encourage us to say it with him, he who dwells, those verses, verses 1 and 2 at least, that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. How safe we are in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these glorious words, this wonderful expression of deep confidence in you, even in the face of great trouble. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, for his absolute confidence these words were true, and the way that was richly proved in the way that you sustained him on that road towards and through the cross, and then wonderfully in his resurrection and ascension into heaven too. And thank you for the way the Lord Jesus in heaven now longs us for us to say these words too, and even leads us in saying them as well. As we reflect on him, please grow us in our confidence in you and our assurance of just how secure we ultimately are in the Lord Jesus. We pray especially for those in our church family facing particular challenges at the moment, anxieties of any kind. Please would they know this confidence as they see your faithfulness to your Son and then to them in him. And we pray that as we trust you, you would give us opportunities to talk to others about just how safe we know we are in you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's say the Lord's Prayer as well. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Amen. Thanks again for joining us for this podcast. Do join us on Friday morning, 8 a.m. for the pandemic prayer meeting if you can. Details for that are in the email that pointed you this way. And please don't forget to be booking into church. We are almost, I've just checked as I speak, almost full for the morning. We'll have a look and see if we can just create a few more spaces for others. Do get booked in for that. And we're fuller than we would normally be at this point in the week for the evening service too. So please, if you'd like to come along on Sunday, do get yourselves booked in. See you soon.